yes, forgiving from the heart. Sarah certainly put in some caveats there, and just to refresh, in case you know, from the last episode, this doesn't mean we are saying what they did is good. It's not like we're giving them a pass. It's not like we're inviting, saying they can come over to the Thanksgiving table next year. No, no, no. This is it's an act of the will. And, but there's a fullness to it. And I think Father Jim Blount helps us. And so we're just one scripture out of the many I quoted, Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the first step, forgiveness is a decision, not a feelings. And I think Terilyn does a nice job. There's a link to the YouTube that she pulls these four steps from. So if you want, so now it's nice and handy. So let's say you go, we'll come to another, the process. So forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. So you say, I forgive you, Mary Sue, in the name of Jesus Christ, now and forever. Then the second step is you bless the person who hurt or offended you. Lord, bless Mary Sue richly now and forever. Give thanks. Here's it come. Because we have to thank the Lord for all things. The good things and the bad things. He permits the bad things so something greater, some greater good can come from it. Oftentimes, with enough time in the mirror, we can see the good. But there are some things, it's just, we won't understand it until we're on the other side. Fair enough. So the third step, you give thanks to God for allowing that wound. I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Mary Sue, for this wound, which I beg you, O Lord, to unite to your most holy wounds, for it is by your wounds that we are healed. And the fourth, we praise God who allowed it to happen because he loves you. I praise you, Lord, and I glorify your heavenly plan to save me and lead me to perfect joy. Thank you. It's short, it's sweet. We have a tangible remembrance of doing this so that when we're assailed by the devil and he comes back and he brings up that memory and says, you didn't really forgive from the heart, we have something and we say, oh, yes, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, that memory's coming back. I purify it and I do this. Some have found that when they've sat down at their time of prayer and they start writing all of the names, so they go into prayer and they ask the Lord to reveal to them, who do they need to forgive? And believe you, my friends, he's going to tell you. If you ask sincerely, he'll tell you. And you start writing those names. I did this. I was remembering people from hadn't remembered them here. So you write the names as they come. You know, you take your time with that. We don't want to be stingy. We want to have a fullness of full forgiveness from the heart. So you take those names and you go through each one by name in the particular. And if you have the opportunity to sit before the Blessed Sacrament and you're by yourself, you could, softly say their names before our Blessed Lord in the Eucharist. But if not, you're, you know, either in a group at the Adoration, and you can say them privately by name. And you will be free. It will be a very, very, very freeing experience. And, it might take a couple hours to do that, depending on your list and your length of life. But you will know you have tried all that you know to do to forgive from the heart. And, that's a great gift. It's a great gift. Okay.
I mean, all that I was going to say is that that prayer where you were saying, you know, thank you, Lord, for letting me suffer this wound. I've had a number of friends who have been in bad relationships, unfortunately for them. And there have been, very painful wounds. And, you know, I thank God for his mercy that I generally tend to be in the seat where I get to offer advice rather than having to follow it, right? I am very cognizant of that. But there is some profound beauty that once you are moved to that ability to forgive that person for the wound that they've caused, it's a very humbling thing to recognize that our Lord, through that wound, is asking you to assist that person back to a state of grace, right? That you may be the only person that wound that you suffered might be that one necessary moment, because you might be the only person who is capable of loving enough to pray for that person's soul. You know, and you don't know why our Lord invites you into that, but it really is. I think that we have to have an awareness as Christians that if you don't love the cross, you will never pick it up, right? So you can't just be mildly like not averse to the cross, right? You, our Lord, that visceral vision of our Lord embracing his cross is one that I think that we have to really somehow ask for the grace to be able to enter into. And that forgiveness is really to offer that forgiveness, that bottomless. I mean, it's so profound. Like when you think about how rich in grace that the church is, that the most obscene wrong can be done to you. And really, let's be honest, there's no way that any wrong that has been done to you could even come close to the wrong that was done to our Lord.
That's true.
And he from his heart, really, at the very moment of the condemnation, right? At the very moment when he is being, you know, when Barabbas, who's the murderer, is being chosen over him, right? His first motivation is a bottomless pit of forgiveness and love for those who are condemning him, right? I mean, it's, and to think, I think it's one of those two moments where the human person is capable of really understanding how they are created, not for a temporal life, but for an eternal life. And one is, the first moment is when a child of the creation of your husband and you is put into your arms, and you realize how expansive is your love, right? You can't imagine that you could love anybody more than your husband, right? And then suddenly this new little being is put into your arms. You're like, oh, I don't love my husband less. I just have more love, right? I mean, so that moment of love being a multiplier. But the same is true with forgiveness, that when you forgive from your heart, there's no limit to your ability to forgive. And both of those things are really, they really speak to the soul and not to the body, and that eternal reality of God, the infinite capacities of God that somehow he permits us to share in. And that, I think, is very beautiful.
It is beautiful. You said something, and we'll close perhaps with this thought, with Dan Burke, and he says, you know, we have a God who runs to his executioners with love and embrace. That's what we were, right? Our sins caused him to die. So we are his executioners. And he forgives. And he doesn't forgive in a stingy, measured way. Fullness and love and a lot of embrace. All right. So you'll see we talked quite a bit about putting this into prayer, because, right, go into prayer. So we're going to spend a little time in the next episode talking about a deepening life of prayer. Till then, my friends, Fide Sabrachia.